Chapter 17. Elias. Riders in black gallop at breakneck speed, their dancing midnight cloaks standing out amid the dappled brown fields of the heartlands. Elias sits straight-backed in his saddle, his face a careful mask of impassivity, his expression as smooth and unmoving as a stone. He calmly watches the riders with open hands held out to either side of him, showing that he's weaponless. "It only takes one jumpy guard to kill a man," he thinks, patiently waiting to be dispatched. The Nightingale camp is still several miles away, but it seems the rebels aren't taking any chances, their scouts patrolling the windswept moors in packs like roving wolves. One of them spotted him a while back, and they've been shadowing him ever since, no doubt trying to ascertain his motives. When it became apparent that he was heading straight for their encampment, he picked up on their more direct approach. "They probably thought they were being sneaky before," he thinks wryly. "Either they're blind, or they don't understand the significance of this cloak upon my back." The men lower their spears as they bear down upon him, their faces hard beneath their iron caps. Instead of lancing him, however, they pull up a few paces away, six horses to his one. "Identify yourself," one of the strangers barks, his lip curling in a snarl. "I'm a friend," Elias replies calmly, holding out his empty palms to emphasize the point. "I need to speak with Captain Sturgis at once."
"A friend?" the man asks, frowning. "And why should we believe you? For all we know, you're a kingsman come to stab us in the back."
"Vic," one of the other guards says to his side, "he looks like that ranger. The one who was friends with the Protector."
Only now does the first man seem to notice his cloak.
"Ranger?"
"Yeah," the second man says. "I saw him fighting during the siege. It's Elias Keane."
Elias inclines his head slightly.
"The very same."
This seems to confuse Vic, and the others whisper to each other, their expressions softening. Several of them even lower their spears.
"We weren't expecting any rangers today," he says, most of the bluster leaving his voice.
"I wasn't expected," Elias replies, "but the fact remains. I'm here now, and I must speak with Captain Sturgis. It's about what happened to Xander, to Protector Thel."
Vic nods, the tip of his spear lowering toward the ground, but he still wears a look of suspicion.
"He'll be Protector Sturgis before long. I expect they'll name him Thel's successor tonight. Then he'll get us the hells out of this place before the king can destroy us."
"Tonight," Elias says, perking up. "Then I haven't missed it. Good. We must go now. There's only a few hours left before nightfall."
Vic's eyes narrow.
"We don't take orders from you, ranger. We're here to watch for enemies, not let every wandering kingsman through our line."
Elias nudges his horse forward, bringing him within striking distance of the stubborn guard.
"I was a Nightingale when you were still in swaddling clothes. I was a shadow blade and a personal friend of Xander Thel. Neither you nor anyone here is going to keep me from speaking with the captain. Do you understand me?"
Someone nearby whispers, "Shadow Blade," with awe, while the others shift uncomfortably in their saddles. Vic holds Elias's gaze for a long moment before deflating like a punctured water skin.
"Fine," he says with a scowl. "We'll not stop you. But there isn't a road leading there, and I doubt the other guards will be so understanding."
"I think I'll manage," Elias replies, clicking his tongue and moving past the hapless guards. "They're getting skittish," he thinks, his horse gradually picking up speed. "I suppose I would be, too, if I were in their position. Their leader murdered, surrounded on all sides by enemies. Though, isn't that true for just about everybody in the kingdom?"
He shakes his head and continues on, determined to reach the camp before dark. Unlike the scouts, the perimeter guards recognize him immediately and let him pass, calling out his name and saluting him respectfully.
He returns their salutes without stopping, riding through the trenches and over the improvised bulwark of earth and sharpened stakes. Dusk has fallen over the heartlands, shrouding the Nightingale encampment in gloom and obscuring the surrounding landscape with a menacing cast. Nearly every soldier Elias passes wears the same unmistakable mask of discouragement. They haven't yet fought a battle, and yet they carry themselves with the burden of defeat, their shoulders slumped, their eyes downcast. The death of their protector has hit them hard, Elias observes. Light pray that the next one will be able to rally them.
Well, aren't you a sight for sore eyes?
Elias reins in his horse before a slim, dark-haired ranger with a bandaged stump for a right hand.
Talon, he greets the young apprentice with a nod. Have they begun the moot yet?
Hello to you, too, he replies sarcastically. And no, I don't think so. That's why you're here, I'm guessing.
It is.
Well then,
he remarks, flashing a sardonic grin and gesturing with his good hand.
Welcome back to the army of the Grand Alliance, the Hope of Tarsinium. It's just as you left it, minus a few folks.
His smile vanishes as a shadow seems to fall over him, his eyes dropping inexplicably to his boots. Elias grunts.
Do you know where the Nightingale leaders are meeting? I need to be present there.
Talon nods without looking up.
It's in the middle of camp. They made it clear that the rangers weren't invited to attend.
He glances up at Elias and frowns.
Though I'm not sure if that includes you.
Elias dismounts, holding the reins and walking up to the apprentice.
It doesn't, he growls. Nor does it include you.
Talon's eyes widen.
Me? But I'm a ranger.
You're an apprentice, Elias replies evenly. And with Owen and Zara...
He trails off for a second, then clears his throat, hardening.
I'd prefer you be there, too. Your insight could prove important. Just don't make me regret bringing you.
Talon swells a little bit and nods.
You can count on me, sir. I'm as dependable as the Ark of Radiance. I mean, the Ark before. Not now.
Elias gives him a dubious look.
All right, then.
He hands the reins off to a nearby page boy, then turns back to Talon.
Now, take me to the meeting. We're going to make sure they don't do anything stupid.
The flames of the brazier dance with a life of their own, radiating warmth and orange light throughout the interior of the huge command tent. The Nightingale leaders, consisting of the generals and captains who had survived the battle for Dunmar City, and the king's continued betrayal, gather around the iron brazier, standing, sitting in chairs, or crouching on the ground. The choosing of a protector is a sacred event for the Nightingales. It's what sets them apart from the king's men of Tarsinium, the ability to choose their leader, a freedom they've historically been willing to defend with their lives. It is an especially somber gathering this night, the gravity of this choosing seeming to weigh heavily on everyone's minds. Captain Sturgis had reluctantly allowed Elias and Talon to attend the meeting, directing them to stand quietly to the side where they can listen as the debate unfolds around them.
"We need strength during these uncertain times,"
one of the men says, emphatically pounding his fist into his other hand.
"Xander Thel was a good man and a good soldier, but in his later years... he was too gentle toward the king's men. We need someone like Benjamin Davies of old. That was a man who wasn't afraid of getting his hands dirty."
Many in the gathering murmur their agreement.
"I thought our whole purpose in coming here was to make peace with the king's men," another speaks up. "There's still the demons to deal with, remember?"
"Bah!" the first man scoffs. "Beasts and monsters don't concern me. Let them ravage the king's countryside. While Aethelgar's preoccupied with the demons, we'll return to Dunmar and rebuild. Then, when his armies are weakened, we can attack from a position of strength."
Elias shakes his head as more assenting voices are heard. "The world's teetering on the verge of destruction, and all these men want is revenge," he thinks, disgusted, though a part of him can understand their feelings. "Aethelgar is a threat.
But more war isn't the answer. How can I help them see that?
Sturgis, who sits on the other side of the brazier, seems to notice Elias's discontent. He speaks up, silencing the other voices as he addresses him directly.
And what say you, Ranger?
All eyes turn to Elias, and he straightens, looking at each of the gathered leaders in the eyes.
The betrayal of King Æthelgar is a grievous offense indeed, he says, standing up before those assembled. But we have to keep in mind the greater risk. The whole reason Protector Thel let us down here is because the Ark is failing. We stand a much greater chance of being destroyed if we remain divided.
You sound like one of them, growls
one of the captains, leveling an accusing finger at him.
You care more for the lives of royalty than you do for our people.
Elias meets his accuser's stare with a gaze as hard as steel.
I care for the people of Dunmore City, Captain. In case you've forgotten, I was a Shadow Blade. Xander was a dear friend of mine. But I also care for the hundreds of thousands of innocent people in this kingdom who will suffer if we escalate this war.
The crowd quiets somewhat, the anger in the captain's eyes cooling at his words. Elias continues, turning to address everyone in the tent.
King Æthelgar can't be trusted. He's a snake. But his men can't be blamed for his treachery. We're all children of the Light, and the R'hllar are the greatest threat we've ever faced. And make no mistake, they're coming for us all.
Then what do you propose that we do? Sturgis asks, crossing his arms. Do you want us to simply submit to the wishes of the king and go willingly to the executioner's block?
Many rumble their agreement.
We need a new protector,
another man interrupts.
Isn't that why we're here? The Nightingales are rudderless without a leader.
I agree, Elias replies, holding up a placating hand. We need a plan, but we can't allow anger to guide us on the road ahead. It will only lead us to ruin. These are troubling times, and we need our principles to direct us now more than ever.
To hell's with the principles, the same man snaps. I care only about justice. We need someone who will take care of our people and avenge our murdered brothers.
The crowd begins to grow restless, dissenting voices rising like steam from a boiling kettle. Most seem bent on returning to the mountains, while others vehemently suggest they raid the countryside, burning every town and village they can in retribution. Elias tries to respond, but his words are drowned out by the tide of angry voices.
Ignis is wise, one of the generals suggests above the din. He's wiser than anyone here.
Ignis is too old,
another one shouts in response.
What about Sturgis, then? He's proven himself in battle. He'll never bow to the whims of the king.
The arguing grows more intense, the impassioned cries rising in pitch and fervor. Elias stands in the center, stoic mask cracking in frustration as he tries to quell the increasingly contentious debate. Sturgis, on the other hand, looks pleased by the turn of events, his eyes bright as many argue on his behalf.
The man wants to be named protector more than he cares to admit, Elias thinks, annoyed. Why can't they see reason? They'll willfully seek vengeance even though they know it'll kill them in the end. Is this what their brothers died for? So they can tear themselves apart with all this useless bickering?
Out of the corner of his eye, Elias sees Talon inching forward, his face set with uncharacteristic determination. He moves to the center of the tent, his wounded arm pressed against his chest until he's standing right beside the brazier. Giving Elias a slight nod, he clears his throat.
You're all a bunch of insufferable idiots!
The tent falls silent almost immediately, everyone turning to face the foolhardy apprentice in shock.
Light almighty, Elias thinks, resisting the urge to throttle the handless whelp and drag him out of the tent by his ear.
But the floor is now his. There's nothing the ranger can do but let the lad speak his mind. Straightening, Talon continues unabashed.
What's wrong with all of you, honestly? We're facing the greatest crisis since the Doom, and you want to turn your backs on the rest of the world?
It's madness. If this is what we've come to, then maybe we deserve to be crushed by the R'hllar. Because that's exactly what's going to happen.
Nobody objects to his words. Strangely, they seem to have enthralled everyone in attendance, the only sound being the crackling of the brazier.
To an extent, I get where many of you are coming from, Talon goes on. Most of you haven't even seen a demon. You haven't had to fight them in the mountains. Well, I have. And let me tell you, it's bloody terrifying. If you think King Æthelgar's knights are bad, wait until you have to face down an army of gorgons and darkhounds.
The silence ensues. Elias finds himself nodding encouragingly at the apprentice, equally confused and amazed by the turn of affairs. Talon gives him a small smile.
I've been with the Nightingales for quite some time now. Hells, I gave up my right hand fighting beside you lot.
He lifts his stump, giving everyone a view of his deformity.
I've diced and drank ale with most of the men in this camp, and I'd guess that the majority of you'd consider me to be an honest enough fellow. With that in mind, listen when I tell you that you're out of your league here. All of us are. That's what makes this so important. In order for us to survive, we're going to need allies, even if that means shedding blood with those people we disagree with. Because in the end, it doesn't matter if you're a Nightingale or a Kingsman. All of us are human, and whether you agree with reason or not, all of us will die together.
As if on a sudden impulse, he turns and gestures at Elias with his good hand.
We do need someone to lead us through these difficult times, and frankly, the only person I'd feel comfortable following is this man here. I nominate Elias Keane to become the protector of the Nightingales.
This time the crowd erupts.
A ranger as our leader? Absurd. How can you suggest such a thing? Obviously an apprentice would support a ranger. You're bloody daft, boy.
Still others raise their voices in agreement, shouting,
Hear, hear, and an excellent suggestion.
Elias stares at Talon, unable to hide his shock. He doesn't want to throttle him any more. Now he wants to kill the bloody apprentice. Talon looks at him and merely shrugs, a sly grin tugging at the corner of his mouth. Sturgis raises his hands to quiet the others. He fixes both of them with a look of displeasure.
Your suggestion is noted, he says to Talon. But Elias is a ranger. I fail to see how he is a suitable choice for protector.
He was a Shadowblade first, remember?
Talon replies before Elias can speak.
Xander Thel practically raised him, trusted him. He's just as much a Nightingale as anyone here.
He may have been a Nightingale once, Sturgis concedes, but he wears the green now, not the black. His allegiances are mixed at best.
And how is that a bad thing? Talon asks. Last I checked, you need allies. Elias is the only one here who can work with the Nightingales, the Rangers, and the Mages. He's the only real choice you have.
I can speak for myself, Talon, Elias growls, reaching forward and squeezing the apprentice hard on the shoulder.
Talon winces and steps away from the brazier, the focus of the crowd now settling fully on the Ranger.
Is this what you want, Elias?
One of the generals asks. His voice is gentle, carrying none of the malice of Sturgis. Elias eyes him for a long moment before replying. His heart feels like a rock inside his chest.
This is not how I pictured this night going, he thinks, chagrined. I'll be having words with Talon when this is over. I've never aspired to lead, he says honestly, only to protect those who can't protect themselves. But if that is what's decided here today, then I will not shy away from this responsibility. I will lead the Nightingales to the best of my ability.
Murmured conversations arise, the consensus less certain than it was before. Though several look displeased by his response, there are many who stare at him approvingly, as if seeing him for the first time. After a few minutes, Sturgis spits upon the coals of the brazier.
Enough of this nonsense, he says, loud enough for everyone to hear. Let's put it to a vote already.
The generals motion for a scribe to come forward, a skinny man carrying with him a slate and a bit of chalk.
"As has been done since the founding of the Nightingales, we will cast votes to choose our new protector. Everyone will be allowed one vote, so choose wisely. In the event of a tie, we will vote again, and the majority will rule. Are you ready to begin?"
Everyone nods, prompting him to continue.
"Very well."
He proceeds to read the names of all those who have been mentioned in the meeting, following each with the words,
"All those in favor, please raise your hand."
When Sturgis's name is read, many within the tent raise their hands, and the scribe tallies them and scratches the number on his slate. Elias is surprised that when his own name is read, there seem to be just as many in favor of him.
"The world truly has gone mad," he thinks, trying not to shake his head at the absurdity of it all. "Why would these people, or anyone for that matter, want me to lead them?"
His whole life he'd always been alone, even when he was in the Shadow Blades or with his ranger companions. He always preferred solitude to being among others, avoiding prominence or attention whenever he could. Now it seems the Light has other things planned for him, thrusting him into the middle of events that will shape the world. After the final votes are cast, the scribe looks up from his slate, puzzled.
"It's a tie,"
he says, causing more than a few raised eyebrows,
"between Captain Sturgis and Elias Keane."
Talon elbows Elias excitedly, but the ranger shoots him a glare.
"We will vote again,"
the scribe continues, looking quizzically between the two of them,
"and the winner will be named Protector. All those in favor of Captain Sturgis?"
Many raise their hands.
"All those for the ranger Elias Keane?"
he says after a brief pause. A comparable number raise their hands as well. After a quick count, the scribe tucks his slate beneath his arms and clears his throat.
"The votes have been cast. The majority stands with Elias Keane, our new protector of the Nightingales."
More than a few gasp at the declaration, while others curse in frustration. Whispers ripple throughout the group, and Elias appears just as shocked as everyone else at the outcome of the vote. He wilts, suddenly weighed down by his newfound responsibility, but straightens just a few seconds later, setting his jaw with grim acceptance. Sturgis abruptly stands, his face drawn and his eyes glittering in the light of the fire. He approaches Elias, his fists balled at his side. The ranger tenses, preparing to reach to his belt knife to defend himself, but stops when the captain drops to one knee in front of him. Bowing his head in deference, Sturgis says in a pained yet resigned tone,
"I accept the results of this moot. I vow to serve you until my dying breath. Long live the Protector!"
Following his lead, everyone in attendance falls to a knee as well and declares in one voice,
"Long live the Protector!"
Elias gazes over the kneeling group, his words failing him. For a moment he thinks that he must be experiencing some sort of dream, or a cruel nightmare. He'd come merely to ensure that the right man was chosen as the new protector. He never thought that the Nightingales would choose him to be their leader. Finally, after a prolonged silence, he finds his tongue.
"I'll admit I wasn't expecting to be named protector this night. It's not an honor I aspired to, nor do I feel worthy to lead the free folk of Tarsinium at this time. Regardless, I will serve to the best of my ability, and I will give my life for you and your families. You have my word and my sacred honor."
Those in attendance look to him as if hanging on his every word. Even Talon, who kneels among them, watches expectantly, waiting for him to say something more. Elias considers his next words carefully.
"The Alliance should still be our top priority. It's imperative that we unite with the mages as quickly as possible, if they're willing to treat with us at all. However, we can't do that while King Æthelgar sits upon the throne. He can't be reasoned with,
and will stop at nothing until every last one of us is utterly destroyed. Therefore, I propose we send a small force to the capital city to end his reign. I know the way into the palace. We can strike when he least expects it. Then I can end his life myself."
Sturgis nods approvingly, while most in attendance rumble in agreement.
"Then let it be so."
Raising a fist into the air, Elias shouts,
"Let us go and end this conflict once and for all. For the Nightingales!"
The crowd roars their response.
"For the Nightingales!"